When we went on air in 2020, our vision was to offer you a seat next to the best minds in the world of commercial real estate to seek wisdom, experience, and advice about the state and future of the industry. On this episode, 5 years after our launch, one of the finest examples of the kind of insight this show is designed to bring you, up close and personal with one of the greats.
I was fortunate enough to find a career that I really fell in love with.
That's Stephen Ross, the CEO and chairman of Related Ross, the largest commercial property owner in downtown West Palm Beach and a major developer across South Florida. He's renowned as the founder of The Related Companies, which he started in 1972 and now holds some $60 billion in residential, retail, and office assets. On top of that, he owns the NFL's Miami Dolphins, among other sports and entertainment properties, while serving as a major philanthropist who champions numerous humanitarian causes, as well as efforts in sustainability, education, and the arts. I could go on, but instead, let's hear from the man himself. Coming up, with a live audience of clients, colleagues, and friends at one of the latest Class A developments in West Palm Beach, we meet developer Stephen Ross to learn from his more than half a century of business and real estate experience. I'm Spencer Levy, and that's right now on The Weekly Take. Welcome to The Weekly Take, and we are privileged to have with us today none other than Stephen Ross. Thanks for hosting us today.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Spencer, for inviting me, and it's great to be here.
Well, it's great to be here on a beautiful day in Palm Beach County. We're here today in a growing market. You have some of the finest real estate, if not the finest office real estate and others in the market. Why are we here in Palm Beach County today as a changing market for tech innovation and otherwise?
Well, I'm originally from Florida, and it's just a great place to do business. But companies haven't really moved here in the past to do business. It attracted a lot of back office, but it hadn't really attracted many businesses till really the pandemic, and after that, how the world has just changed so much, you know, politically, economically, socially, things that are going on in this country. And when there's change, there's opportunity. We had a small office here at City Place. It was more like an outpost, if you will. Mm-hmm. We developed this development here at City Place, which was roughly 500,000 square feet of retail, some residential, then built a couple office buildings, but all at a kind of a low rise type of development. The problem was we were way ahead of ourselves, so we set out to bring in a hospital. We brought in Cleveland Clinic, which is one of two best hospitals in our country. Then we had to look at education, because that's what companies would be looking for. So one from a secondary education, we looked at bringing in Vanderbilt University, bringing in their business schools, engineering, all their graduate schools here to West Palm. That deal has been approved. And then we had to bring in K through 12, because you're not going to get people wanting to move here unless there's great education. That was probably the most difficult part. Also, we had to deal with recreation. One of our biggest challenges is really creating a place where young people want to be and that talent will come to. And I think when you walk around, you see here, and the great retailers that we're attracting, as restaurants, I mean, that's key today. And you see the quality of what we're doing in the office buildings. The story is starting to, you know, unfold, and people are reading about it, and it's just an exciting place to be.
The last part, the cultural amenities, the restaurants. And San Francisco popped in my mind. And it popped in my mind not just because of the wealth, the tech, the education. It also popped in my mind because San Francisco and Silicon Valley, they have a relationship with each other, about an hour apart. And I see something similar here with Palm Beach County and Miami. And you have the Brightline, the beautiful train, right downstairs.
Yes, it's similar. But when you look and see what issues they had, there's no really heart in Silicon Valley. I mean, when you live there, it's kind of all these isolated, like, suburban communities. And that's what we have to create here, you know, especially when you compare it to Miami. That's what we're really, you know, working and doing in terms of bringing these type of restaurants and amenities that people would expect and really create it, because it can't be all of Miami, because mm-hmm. Miami is so unique. So you got to have a real lifestyle that really attracts young people.
And one of the beauties of West Palm Beach as part of Palm Beach County is its walkability. You can't walk Silicon Valley. Everything's driving, but this is a creation of a city like that that's walkable.
Walkable and also right on the water.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the attractiveness of the ocean and water that always, you know, has that mystical feeling of people want to be near it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really adds to the ambience of what we're creating.
Mm-hmm. And we can actually see the water from here if anybody wants to stand up. But
from the buildings, the high-rise office buildings, you'll see the ocean. Mm-hmm. As well as the intercoastal.
Let's dig in for just a moment on a couple of the areas we just talked about. Other cities I'm thinking about include Austin, Texas, include Nashville, include Charlotte, maybe Dallas even, because Dallas is larger.
Sure, yeah.
But nevertheless, Dallas actually started as a financial hub and expanded, kind of like West Palm Beach, where Palm Beach started as financial and expanded the innovation. How do you see these other cities comparing to Palm Beach?
You know, if you look today, and you think today, where do young people want to be today? Mm-hmm. And the overwhelming choice today, and we're talking about college graduates and where they want to be, it's probably New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But the problem is when you live in New York City, at some point, you can't afford to stay there. And while it's attracting the young people today, you know, people say, well, no one really, there's not a talent base in Florida. New York City, it's people, after living there, where would they rather go to? Dallas, Nashville, Charlotte, or Florida? Everybody has a good feeling about Florida. And I think that this is really the ability to where young people want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, old people want to be with the young people,
mm-hmm.
you know? But creating that environment and understanding that,
mm-hmm.
it'll attract a lot more people and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole idea is really, how do you attract talent?
Mm-hmm. And a lot of it is attraction, retention, but also creation. And creation is the universities. And we have Vanderbilt, which you just mentioned, but you spent a couple of years at University of Florida.
I mean, that's the untold story here, is that Florida has great schools, mm-hmm. But the fact is they don't have the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so therefore they have a talent drain of people. And now being able to bring these companies, you know, to Florida and knowing they're coming for talent and therefore Florida be able to retain a lot of their own residents that have grown up here and would prefer to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So you start putting all this together, you can kind of put together a story that's very compelling to companies to say, hey, this is a place we want to grow from a business perspective. And that has never been the case in Florida before.
Speaking of the other universities, just to mention a few, University of Florida, University of Central Florida, the U, University of Miami down the street.
Right.
All of these are creators, but a lot of the things you've done here are retainers of that talent, which is the cultural amenities, which is the K-12 schools.
Well, it's not retaining. We got to get them here
mm-hmm.
once they do graduate and make it a place where they want to be, mm-hmm. but also from all over the country. And I think when Vanderbilt University can make a decision to come and open up their only campus mm-hmm. outside of Nashville, that says an awful lot. They see the growth potential mm-hmm. that's here in Florida, and they don't have branches or extensions anywhere else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is going to be a real campus for mm-hmm. them at the same quality level mm-hmm. as it is in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so that's, I think, very important. State universities can't really expand into other states. So it really takes a private university. So the question is, how many great private universities are there that are in a position to expand?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really see this as a big new trend mm-hmm. because of the limitations that are placed upon the schools in the ability to really grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what makes it unique, having a Vanderbilt.
Mm-hmm. And I think we talked about universities. Let's go to healthcare for just a moment. Bringing the Cleveland Clinic. How'd that come together?
Well, I mean, having lived here mm-hmm. and in Palm Beach, they used to say, if you get sick, where do you go? And the answer was the airport. Because there aren't a lot of great, you know, hospital. Yeah. There aren't any good hospitals really here in West Palm Beach. So it was, you know, the question was to recruit and find a great hospital. And, you know, when you're really trying to change things, people want to be familiar with the great brands, mm-hmm. you know, so you talk about Cleveland Clinic. I mean, it's always either, what's the best hospitals in this country? It's either Mayo or Cleveland Clinic. Those are considered the two best hospitals. So we were fortunate enough to get Cleveland Clinic. And then schools, the same way. You know, what is, from a private school, what are the great brands, you know, besides the Eastern Ivy League schools, Stanford, then Vanderbilt's right up there, is mm-hmm. probably comparable with those great institutions. So, you know, having brands that people are familiar with that can they can relate to, you know, makes it a lot easier sell because people kind of know what they can expect, you know, from that.
Mm-hmm. Let's move to the play side of this. And I know that you're bringing some great concerts here through Live Nation. And I know that as the owner of the Miami Dolphins and Hard Rock, you brought F1 into the area. How does all of these play elements work into your vision?
There's a lot more in life than just working, you know. Mm-hmm. People want to, you know, play, enjoy, and have fun. And I think that you have to really, that all goes part of kind of what you need to create great cities, great places. Mm-hmm. How you put it together in a package, it really attracts everybody that's diverse. Every city that you think of, the great cities in this country, you can identify a certain thing that they're known for. Look, New York is probably the most diverse city. There's the entertainment, the food, everything. Why do young people want to be there? Because there's a vitality. You got to create that vitality within cities.
How are you trying to bring a broader entertainment experience given all of the assets in the neighborhood?
Well, this is a big area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you want to create a heartbeat as part of it. But each city has its own uniqueness to it. And you go to Delray, they have Atlantic Avenue. Mm-hmm. If you've been there at night with all the young people, mm-hmm. it's exciting. It's one of the most exciting places in Florida. But since it's going to be throughout the county, and this county is a very large county, it's the largest county in the eastern United States. If you drive from the southern end of the county to the northern end on 95, nonstop, it'll take you 50 minutes at 80 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So you have to have different cities that have diverse type of entertainment and places, because and people will be attracted to those different places. You know, you have Wellington with all the horses. You got the schools around Boca, and Delray's next to Boca. So I mean, it's not going to just be West Palm Beach. I mean, that's the core of it, and the center and the spokes go out. Probably one of the most important things that today is the affordability of housing and the diversity of the housing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one thing that if you look and see the cost and the diversity of housing that's available here in Palm Beach County, it's quite unique. When you talk to corporations, because they're looking to see what their employees can afford, because it's an affordability issue, and the cost of housing today, which is probably going to be one of the most important aspects going forward, the greatest needs. And so, I mean, we've created a venture with Lennar to provide a workforce housing. So there's choices, housing, rentals, townhouses, with an affordability issue, you know, really prime consideration.
You're one of the most successful business people in the world, and you are still running and gunning. And I say this with great respect. Wow. Your energy, your vision doesn't stop. What keeps you going?
Well, I mean, you know, I think you want to do something that has an impact in life. And, you know, it's not about the money. It's really doing something that can have an impact, that can make the world a better place. And I guess that's more important than, you know, you have plenty of time. You take your dirt nap to count your money, right? But it's really, you know, doing something that you can look at and be really, it's challenging and impactful. Mm-hmm. And I think being able to really build cities and environments and creating, you know, exciting things for other people is something that's, you know, really has driven me. So it's a kind of a work of love.
We have several younger individuals in the room here today, and they look at you with great admiration. What do you say to them if they want to be the next Stephen Ross?
Today, I mean, you want to be doing something with, that you love, you have passion in doing. And if you love what you're doing and you're good at it, you're going to succeed. And I think there's nothing better than really doing something that you really have that passion to be doing in life.
And how long have you had that passion, Steve? Because you started off as a tax attorney and you started the Related company in 1972. So you started off as a lawyer, then you became an advisor, then you became a real estate company. When did you realize you had the passion for being a great real estate developer?
I guess success breeds success, mm-hmm. you know, and I think the more success you have, first when you start, you know, any career, anything, you got to sustain yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I start with no money and you know, first you have to worry about making a living and, mm-hmm. and then you can worry about having a family and all that. So, I mean, it started with that. And then I was fortunate enough to find a career that I really fell in love with. I guess I believe in the philosophy that you don't do something that you can hire somebody who can do it better than you can do. Mm-hmm. So you got to find some area that you really have passion and you can do better than anybody else. Mm-hmm. If you have the passion, you're not really working. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, I love what I'm doing, so I don't ever feel I'm working a day in my life, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I think when you're working with other people that are like-minded, I think you work together as a team. It's not about an individual. And really, I think bringing people together to work together and what you can accomplish if you're all, you know, in it for the right reasons, it's unlimited. It's mm-hmm. boundless.
So we're going to get to the Miami Dolphins in a moment because as I warned you in advance, there are a few disgruntled New York Jets fans sitting out there.
A lot of disgruntled Dolphin fans.
Ready to get a piece of your mind on that. But before we get a piece of your mind, I'm going to just go back to what you said about there's something more. And I would also be remiss not to say there are a lot of people bleeding blue in this room, Michigan grads, and you are the number one benefactor of the university. Your name is proudly on so many things. Tell us about your relationship with Michigan, why that's so important to you.
Well, I guess, I mean, I was born and grew up in Detroit, and I moved to Florida when I was 15, but always wanted to go back to the University of Michigan. I guess I went to a football game when I was 8 years old and fell in love with the place, you know. And it's a great institution. And it did a lot in helping my career, and I really believe in giving back. And I guess, I don't know if you went to Michigan.
Or my son's there.
Your son's there.
Yes.
It's like a cult that goes to Michigan.
I've heard that.
It's always, wherever you are, go blue, you know, I mean.
How often does somebody stop you in an airport to say, go blue?
I mean, I'll just be walking by and someone will just walk by, go blue. They recognize me. I mean, it happens all over. Anywhere in the world, probably of any school, it has that more of that cult feeling mm-hmm. than any other school. And it's a great place. They had over 100,000 applicants this year. Mm-hmm. So it's a hard school to get into. I couldn't get in today if I was graduating, but you know, I mean.
And it's such a driver, not only of great minds, of great sports, but it actually is the number one market in Michigan is Ann Arbor. And the university's clearly driving that and so far beyond that.
Michigan has its problems, as it sure problems. Mm-hmm. But probably the best thing in Michigan is the University of Michigan today.
Yeah, though Detroit has had a renaissance of sorts and led by certain financial services companies and some of the auto companies sitting around. So I'm bullish on Michigan, but it clearly has its issues.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm bullish. It's difficult to bring back a city like Detroit. Mm-hmm. I know I've created an innovation center, which is an economic development tool for the University of Michigan to open up in Detroit, and gave the lead gift and got $100 million from the state, and I put in $100 million and to try and bring back and revitalize Detroit. But it's a lot harder to try and revitalize a place like Detroit than it is to grow a place like West Palm Beach. And I can tell you, it's getting people to invest and believe in something like that mm-hmm. and bringing it back, it may be a great story to bring back a great city to its former prominence, but it's easier said than done.
Going back to Palm Beach is obviously on an amazing trajectory now, and Related Ross is a big piece of that. But Palm Beach and West Palm Beach itself has had a troubled history itself when you started in this market 25, 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's what I said. I was ahead of my time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Florida's been a great growth state, but people never looked at it from a business perspective as being a place that businesses would really grow and come here. So much change is occurring in this country today that when you look around, I can't see a better place to really grow and start a business, start a family than here in South Florida.
We're not going to mention any specific tenant names here, but innovation, tech, the Gold Coast. This is the next level for Palm Beach County, the next level for this Southern Florida region, because we have been driven, or it has been driven, primarily by financial services firms. Tell us about that shift from one or the other, or maybe both.
Well, I mean, when you see what's the change that's occurring in the country, and you see what's going on in California, whereas California was the state where, you know, all technology really was starting, where young people wanted to be, but then it became a place that's very difficult to do business today. Mm-hmm. And even though it's a great place, they're their own worst enemies. And so businesses are moving out. You see places today, like what's going on in New York City today with the election. I mean, you go too far to the left, businesses are going to shy away from being there and growing there. And I think that's what's happening in California. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not, the companies aren't going to pick up and move, but the question is, they're large companies, and where their future growth is going to be, where they're going to really, you know, point that.
And the places they're pointing today include Austin, Texas, Nashville, Charlotte, Dallas. We want Palm Beach County to be part of that.
Right.
First
of all, that's our competition. You know, I think we can win.
Well, speaking of competition, the Dolphins have been a tremendous investment for you. Hard Rock Stadium, F1. Tell us about how you got into that and how you see that as a driver of this community.
I love sports, and I, you know, I played football, but not being any good, I said, hey, I want to own a team one day, you know. And so it was like a dream, and the opportunity to buy it came up, and I could afford it. But I also saw it, being a real estate developer, of the importance, and, you know, it's just not about winning games. It's the impact you can have on the community. And there's nothing that brings a community together, and the community here being South Florida, and how you can impact the community. And so the opportunities of owning a sports franchise are great. I mean, and nothing like the National Football League, because it is so popular today and it is continuing to grow. And the love of the football in South Florida is good as any place in the country. What we've been able to do is really bringing the community together there, both in terms of bringing other events. I've kept the Miami Open tennis tournament there when they were going to move because they couldn't stay in Key Biscayne in Miami, and I got them to come to our stadium as opposed to moving to Orlando or Mexico where the tournament was going to go. Then I saw the economic benefits and with Formula One and what it does for the area. We could put on an event, you know, at our stadium, not in the stadium, but around the stadium. And it's now probably the most important Formula One race in the country, and we're 3 years old, we're 4 years into it. So it shows you what sports can do and the impact it can have on a community in bringing the community together and also doing things to economically develop and rise all ships, if you will.
In addition to everybody that loves sports, but this is also a real estate show. This is what we're talking about. And when you buy a professional sports team, I think a lot of people see the business of the team, but there's also the business of real estate around it. How much of professional sports ownership would you say is changed now that it's a real estate story as much as perhaps it is a sports story?
One of the reasons is the importance of media and what those media rights are worth. That's what's really kind of elevated all sports, people wanting to own sports teams because they see the value of the media dollars. I don't know if I exactly agree with everybody, but today entertainment is such a big portion of people's lives, you know. Mm-hmm. No matter what the economy is, it's the diversification, and sports certainly today is the common denominator. Mm-hmm. And so I think that'll continue to grow, and therefore all franchise values are continuing to grow mm-hmm. because of that. And we've done a lot in Miami, more so than any other place in the country, by bringing it all together as an entertainment center. I don't know if it works everywhere, mm-hmm. you know, because the capital investment is so great. All of a sudden, you're just not going to be, and where are you going to find the land that's big enough to really create, mm-hmm. you know, where you can build the synergy between sports and business and living. But I think we were fortunate that when I bought the Dolphins, that we had, you know, the acreage that I bought with it, that I could develop something, even though it was kind of in a low-income area. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to do that in downtown areas. Mm-hmm. But I think people are going to try and going to see a lot more diversification with stadiums and real estate development.
Let's go back to Palm Beach. We've talked about healthcare, affordable housing, infrastructure, transportation, tech, so many topics. What's the first thing you want a potential tenant to think about when they think about Palm Beach County?
Today, the theme that everybody wants is really inclusive growth, mm-hmm. you know, and living in a safe, secure environment. Mm-hmm. You know, the livability aspects of it. And I think if you don't really concentrate on that, you're not going to find it a place where people really want to be, live, work, or play. Mm-hmm. You can't neglect any of those aspects. You add the safety and security that people expect and demand, because you're not going to find any place growing without that. But also it has to have where a heartbeat to it, where people really want to participate in the community.
And the future of office is probably been the biggest ping pong ball since COVID of any topic within our industry. And a lot of people have been down on it. But nevertheless, we're sitting here at one of your assets in Palm Beach, and you have the highest rents, not just in West Palm Beach, but in Florida here, and you have tremendous demand here. So that's one side of the story. But the other side of the story, some people are negative on the future of office. What do you say to those people?
I'm very positive on the future of office. I think, first of all, any company, you know, you have to build a team, mm-hmm. and you can't build a team unless you're working together. Mm-hmm. And you just can't do it by looking at a screen. You got to be there together. And it's what doesn't happen, you know, it's like going to the water fountain, you know, the conversations that occur in the hallways. I mean, that's the important things. It's not the meeting itself. And companies cannot grow, and you can't succeed without believing you're part of a team. And you can't do that without being in a central place. Mm-hmm. And I think we're kidding ourselves that people are going to work at home, and really you're going to be productive, and you're going to accomplish, and you're going to be innovating and creating, because, you know, no one individual can do it himself. Mm-hmm.
And we obviously have great models here in Palm Beach. You have great models of everything that you've done in New York and elsewhere. But there are some buildings that may not have those amenities, may not be in the right submarket. What's the future there? Are they going to be knocked down? Are they going to be converted into multifamily?
Yeah, I mean, Mick, if you can adapt the use of older office buildings that work for residential, that's great. But I think it costs typically, unless it's some kind of unique building, as much to build new than it is to rehab something. You know, I think you'll find a lot of office buildings knocked down. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are obsolete.
And I think a lot of the issue with office buildings, the cost factor is the physical cost, the inflation that we've gone through the last couple of years, the cost of labor, the cost of materials, interest rates. So just a big, if you don't mind, a macro question. How do you see the economy today, and how should our...
I don't think people today, the uncertainty that exists today, we haven't seen this type of uncertainty, you know, between the tariffs, you know, and what's going on in the Middle East and taxes and which direction we're really going as a country and, you know, as really a world that, you know, I think people are concerned, you know, and I think that's why, you know, you talk about today, you know, with all the inflation of where we're going, still talking about reducing interest rates, you know, and the Fed, you know, is a big thing, because we do have to worry about inflation. I mean, it, and so many of these things are so inflationary that, that we're proposing, and what the impact of that is. So people are, I think today, are very concerned about where they are. And when you don't know, you don't make decisions. You don't make big decisions. And at the same time, technology is changing so much of the world, and no one really knows what the impact is going to be of AI. You know, where are the future jobs? What are they going to be? I mean, it's incredible. We're in a period of time that I don't think any of us have ever seen before. And so the with that uncertainty, you know, you got to be very conservative, and people are. Will this lead to a recession? I don't know. Things today, we're keeping it all together. And but at the same time, with all this inflation and now reducing it, all the talk about reducing interest rates today, you know, that tells you nobody really knows where we're going.
And because of that uncertainty, the playing field of other developers has gotten smaller. Not that they've all gone out of business per se, but they've stopped building. Most of the large developers, or many of them, have been sitting on their hands, but you have been moving forward. And in addition to some of the great office projects, including the one we're sitting here today, you also are building new condominium projects, new multifamily projects. How are you able to do that?
Well, I mean, fortunately, this is one place that's growing. You know, it's one of the few places that we really feel that growth occurring. You know, if people are coming here and moving here, you have to have all the retail, you have to have the hotels. And what's not slowing down, though, is people are still looking for entertainment. And even in bad times, the entertainment sector has never really doesn't get hurt. Because no one's just going to sit home and do nothing, right? So you'll spend your dollars, your marginal dollars, on entertainment. So, I mean, that's one reason why, you know, tourism is also a very, you know, important industry here in Florida.
And what you have here is clearly this mix. A lot of the Midwestern cities, or maybe even to some degree Detroit, that has a lot of momentum behind it, it doesn't have the tourism, it doesn't have the weather, it doesn't have the ocean. And so there's so many things here that are independent of many of the things you're trying to do in the business community.
Well, that's one of the reasons why we're here. That's why people are interested in Florida.
Exactly.
And why this change is occurring, why this growth is occurring. So it's, you know, but at the same time, nothing goes straight up. So, I mean, you have to be conservative in your viewpoint of, you know, what you're investing, what risk you're willing to take in this environment. But growth is certainly a very helpful factor.
And so I think if I were to sum up that comment, growth is the answer. It's the only answer. I believe it's the only answer from a macro perspective, but even from a micro perspective, if you have high interest rates, high cost of labor, high cost of materials, if you can justify the rents because of growth, that solves a lot of problems.
Right. And you have to be efficient. You got to really know what you're doing, you know. And today, with a lot of with a lot less development going on, you got to know how to buy and who to use, what contractors to use, because you can afford to do, use the best. You know, always at the end of the day, the successful ones are usually the high quality ones.
And also the great operators. How much more of an operator would you say you are today than maybe 10, 20 years ago?
I think the important thing is you have to have a long-term perspective. I mean, you can't be a speculator. And so everything that we do in building the buildings and owning them, we don't buy them to flip them. You know, we buy the buildings to own them long-term, you know, other than a condominium, but there the market is, and you want to have a certain amount of pre-sales. But, you know, in life, having a long-term perspective, I think, is what wins at the end of the day.
And I just want to reiterate the point that Mr. Ross just made. Long-term wins. Long-term thinking wins. A lot of people get blinded by the light of the short-term flip, but that is not why Mr. Ross is sitting here today. First of all, thank you again for having us here today. Any final thoughts that you want to share with our audience?
Well, I mean, I guess what I've been talking about the whole time is selling Palm Beach County. So, I mean, obviously.
The bottom line here, folks.
Bottom line. You know, I believe in it, you know? I believe in that, and the Dolphins are going to win. You
know? There we go.
See that? We knew we were going to get that in there. So on behalf of the Weekly Take, what a privilege today to have Stephen Ross, the CEO and chairman of Related Ross, the founder of the Related Companies, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, the host of our clients and colleagues at his beautiful properties here in Palm Beach County. Let's hear it for Mr. Ross. Thank you for joining us on this special Weekly Take event, which, by the way, is not only available on all our usual podcast outlets, but on our newly expanding platform on YouTube as well. You can also find more content at our homepage, cbre.com/theweeklytake, where you can send us your feedback, subscribe to the show, and listen to our informative back episodes with other great real estate minds, an archive that's now 5 years in the making. We'll be back next week with more, so tune in and we'll see you then. I'm Spencer Levy. Be smart, be safe, be well. Go Blue.